Welcome to Through the Word. My name is Chris Langham, and we are in Genesis 25. Now, in chapter 25, a new generation is born, and with them, a war begins. We've come to a major shift in our story. The first generation of the faith is passing from the scene. Sarah has died already, and now Abraham will join his bride. Isaac is now the patriarch of the family, and his boys will come out fighting. There is a battle, and the battle we read about here is more than just sibling rivalry. It is a picture of the war that rages inside every Christian, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. We'll see that soon, but first, we close out Abraham's story, beginning at verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So there it is, Abraham, the great man of faith, died at a good old age indeed, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave with his wife Sarah, buried in the only property that Abraham ever owned, still trusting in God for the promise of so much land for his descendants. Now remember I told you before that typology is like symbolism or foreshadowing. Old Testament Bible stories that are true but also picture a spiritual truth, often explained in the New Testament. This is important stuff as you read. So here's a quick review of the symbols so far. Scholars can argue over the details. Here's the big picture. Abraham is the father of the faith, and he serves as a picture for us of Father God. Now Abraham's wife Sarah is a picture of Israel. Israel is often likened to a wife for God the Father. Now their son Isaac is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the son of the Father and born into this world through Israel, of course. Now what about the storyline? In Genesis 22, Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, a powerful picture of Father God making a sacrifice of his son, Jesus the Christ. Now Abraham didn't go through with it, but the picture was powerful. In Genesis 23, Sarah dies, and in a similar way, Israel was removed from their homeland soon after Jesus died. They got kicked out in 70 AD. Then in Genesis 24, a bride was found for Isaac, and there we saw an amazing picture of how the Holy Spirit finds a bride for Jesus. Isaac married Rebekah, and she serves as a picture of the Christian church. Christians are the bride of Christ. And that brings us to Genesis 25, and the heart of the story here is about the next generation. So where do Isaac and Rebekah's kids fit into this picture? Let's start at verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. And then verse 21, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So Isaac prayed for children, and God listened. And in verse 22, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. So there are twin boys in Rebekah's womb, and they are fighting up a storm before they hit daylight. The boys would be Esau and Jacob, and the Lord declared his plan from the start. The younger was chosen to lead. Jacob was born second, but he would become Israel, the father of the nation. Now, whether that was predestination or foreknowledge, I'll leave between you and the sovereignty of God. What I can tell you is the typology here. Remember that Rebekah pictures Christians, and inside Rebekah a war rages. These boys picture for us the battle between the flesh and the spirit. When you become a Christian, the battle inside you begins. Esau is a picture of the flesh, born first, as is the flesh first in us. Esau's name means hairy, and he is a manly man from the very start. He's red and hairy at birth, and he grows up to be a skilled hunter. Now Jacob was out second, but he grabbed the heel of Esau on the way out. Jacob means heel catcher, as in grab your heel and trip you up. Jacob is a picture of the spirit in us, born second, but destined to rule. Now, Jacob was a quiet man and a homebody, but also a bit of a trickster. Unlike the spirit, Jacob would become known for his deceit. The deception begins at verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is my birthright to me?" Pause there a moment. To understand this story, you have to know what a birthright is. The birthright was Esau's right as the firstborn to become the patriarch of the family when father died. It included a double portion of the inheritance so that Esau would take responsibility for the family, for their welfare, and also for their spiritual leadership. Now, the birthright should mean everything to Esau, but right now he's not interested. All he can think about is he's hungry. He's been out hunting, and he sees a bowl of stew that Jacob's cooking, and he's willing to give up his birthright for a quick bite. Now, remember that Esau pictures the flesh, and the flesh is always hungry for more, never satisfied, and it's that hunger that makes the flesh foolish. His hunger may be lust, greed, selfish ambition, doesn't matter. It's always about, I need, I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. Have you ever noticed that your flesh tries to act so strong, and it gets so weak when it's faced with just a little temptation? I'm about to die, Esau said. You are not going to die without that stew, or that girl, or that money, or that car, or toy, or phone, or whatever momentary pleasure you crave. Face it, your flesh is a drama queen. Every whim and desire, suddenly life or death, and it will press you with the gravity of its need until the things that you really value don't seem to matter in comparison. I'm about to die. What good is my job, wife, husband, kids, reputation, ministry, calling? The things that men and women sacrifice for a pot of stew or an image on a screen or a little green paper are mind-boggling. Esau gave up his birthright. This was huge. It was his life. His whole future was wrapped up in it. But the flesh will always trade anything in the future for what it wants right now. Jacob was quite happy to oblige. And in verse 33, Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Read Genesis 25 today. Watch as the war begins, and watch for the pictures and insights into the war inside you. And watch out for the foolish hungers of your flesh that distort your values and destroy your future. If you are truly hungry, then listen to Jesus in John chapter 7. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.